Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Will We Recognize and Remember Each Other in Heaven?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Last week, we talked about the resurrection power to come to us at the last day when Christ returns, to raise our bodies from the dead to give us the kingdom. This week, I'd like to look with you at this question. When we are raised and we come to that new world, and even when we die and come to heaven above, will we know and recognize each other, those who have departed in the faith, our loved ones? Will we see each other again? Will we recognize each other? Will we remember each other? Will we recall each other? Will we pick up where our relationships left off here on earth? Or is it like it's all wiped clean like a slate and we just have to start all over together from scratch? And will we even get to see them again? Let's take a look at that today, because I know many of you have lost loved ones in the Lord, and we need to know what God says about this. Will we see them again? Is there a day of joyful reunion with our loved ones who have departed in the faith up above and in the world to come? Will we remember them? Will we recognize them? Will we know each other in that new world and in that kingdom and rejoice at seeing each other again? Let's see what God would teach us about that today by His Word. Not by fanciful imaginations or wishful thinking, but by the objective Word of truth, the Word of God, the Bible. So, what can we say of that? The first thing I know we can say is that God really cares when you lose a loved one. His heart is right there with you. This is very, very important to God. Can we see that in the scriptures? Well, take a look here. Remember when Lazarus died and Martha and Mary ran to Jesus? Well, look at Mary running to him. John 11, verse 32. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet and saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. They said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Isn't that amazing? He knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead a couple of minutes later. But when he sees her weeping in sorrow for her brother, Jesus is deeply moved in spirit. He's troubled and tears come to his eyes. God is teaching us by this and teaching you and me that he sees your sorrow. He feels your present pain when you're missing your loved ones who have departed the faith, in the faith, that is, this world. So he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Remember what David says in the Psalms, you've kept count of my tossings and put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in thy book? Every tear you have and every sorrow and pain of heart, God has recorded and remembers. So he cares deeply about your pain when you're missing your loved ones. And guess what? More than you even can know or imagine, he cares. So that's point number one, but now let's get a little more specific. Is there any hope for you in Christ, for us, that we will see our departed loved ones again in heaven, and that our present sorrow will be turned into a joyful joy at the reunion, a happy reunion above? Well, let's take a look a little more at the story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus and Jesus. Let's look at Mary this time, and we go to verse 21. She also said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. She's crying. She's in sorrow for Lazarus' departure. And even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, you can see with good cheer in his words, your brother will rise again. Isn't that a great word? She says, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world. So Jesus gives her good cheer. And what kind of cheer does he say? Your brother will rise again. A good word of seeing him again, indeed. But even more immediate than that, I am the resurrection. I'm here, and I'm going to raise him in a few minutes. Is there good hope for us, do you think, of seeing our loved ones again? Yes. And where does it found? Jesus Christ. He's the Savior, the resurrection, and the life, who will raise us from the dead. I can declare to you, your loved ones who've departed in the Lord, in faith, they are not dead, but they are actually alive. That's what the Scripture teaches us. This is God's word. This is not wishful thinking. And where are they? For Christ, says Peter, also died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Where are we going when we depart? To God. What does Paul say in Philippians chapter 1? He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So we depart to be with Christ, where he is, above. And Paul says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, yes, we're of good courage. We'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So where are we when we depart this world as Christians, and our loved ones when they depart in the faith? At home with the Lord. Would you say at home?
At home with the Lord.
Home, that's where we're heading. Come on, this is a great place. This is not soul sleep. This is not ceasing to exist. This is a place, and it's the very great place of God. Mount Zion in the far north, the high above, with innumerable angels in festal gathering, spirits of just men made perfect, there to see Christ, the mediator of a new covenant, whose blood speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. That's where we're heading, a great place. It's like we're ships going over the horizon. If you see ships going over the horizon here in Cape Canaveral off the beach, do you suppose that they cease to exist and that they sink when they go out of sight? No, you know that they're just coming across the sea to a new port. That's what the Scripture, the objective word of God, declares concerning the Christian. You depart to be with Christ. That's far better, to home above with God. And so that's where we're heading. In my Father's house, Jesus says, are many rooms. If it weren't so, why would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? In other words, that would make no sense. I'm going, preparing a place for you there. That's awesome. When a Christian dies, our body is dead. It goes into the earth, sleeps, if you will, in the grave, returns to dust. But is alive, the soul is, that is, in heaven with Christ. You know, at the last day, what's going to happen? You know it well. God's going to raise also our bodies, restore them to our souls, our spirits coming back together, and that with power and clothed in immortality, glorified, shining like the sun, declares Jesus himself. Therefore, Paul says, we grieve as Christians when we lose loved ones, but not as others do who have no hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And where do we go again? Up. You can say up with me. We have a great hope of seeing them again. At the last day, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, with the sound of the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left until his coming, shall be caught up to meet them together in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air. And so, he says, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, notice the words he uses here to Christians dealing with the same issue of departed loved ones in the faith. He says, comfort one another. There is comfort and good hope for you, Christians, in this of seeing your loved ones again. And it says, therefore, then when we meet the Lord, we shall always be with the Lord. With the Lord is great. That's number one. But also we, say we. We together, all of us, we shall see the Lord. That is great hope for you, of knowing and seeing your loved ones again on that day. But let's ask this question. Will we, though, recognize them and know them in heaven and in the world to come? will we just pick up our relationships here where we left off? Or will it be like, okay, we'll know them there, but God just wipes the slate clean and we have to start over and say, who are you? And who are you? We'll get to know each other there. Is that the way it works? Well, let's see, according to God's objective word of truth, the Bible, whether we know and will recognize each other in heaven and have a remembrance of things there. We read of Jesus' resurrection day that very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near to and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And they stood still, looking sad. Now, why were their eyes kept from recognizing him? Because Jesus wanted to first preach to them the word and inspire their faith by the preaching of the scriptures. Notice their eyes had to be kept from recognizing him. Amen? It would have otherwise been easy, but they were blinded and concealed for his purpose at the moment. But then later, when he took them to dinner and they ate together, when at table he was with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They did what? Recognized him. Recognized the one they knew before. Is there a chance then that you'll recognize your loved ones as well? Yes. And then he vanished from their sight and got to see him again, etc., until he ascended. So he continued. They continued and picked up their relationship right where they'd left off. That's encouraging. So we'll certainly recognize Jesus. But will we recognize each other, though, in the same way? Let's take a look at another passage. Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. After Jesus, 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, who are these jokers? No, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I'll make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Do you find anything strange about this event? He never met Moses. He never met Elijah. Moses lived 1,500 years or so previous. Elijah about 800 years previous. And yet Peter recognized Moses and Elijah, though he never met them. Is there not greater hope even for us than to recognize each other whom we have known? There's great hope for you of seeing your loved ones and recognizing them, those whom you've known here on the earth, your loved ones. But you might say, but I thought we just forgot everything when we go to heaven. Isn't it like we start over and God wipes the slate clean and we're just like a blank slate and we have to start over and we don't remember anything from this life? Isn't that the way it works? Where on earth is that in the Word of God? I'll prove the contrary. We remember, actually, guess what, in heaven, better and more clearly than we do here. Let me prove it to you. When the Son of Man comes, Matthew 25, and sits on his glorious throne, before him will be gathered all the nations. He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me, etc. And then the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see thee so? What are they doing? Thinking back, recalling, thinking through their lives, scanning their memories. When did we see you this way? They remember their lives, but they just don't remember seeing the Lord there. And Jesus says, the king will say, As you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And then the same with the wicked. Lord, when did we see thee hungry or thirsty or naked or sick or in prison and didn't minister to you? We're recalling or scanning our memories of our lives, but when did we see you there? Truly I say to you, as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. And then the righteous will go away into eternal life, but the wicked into eternal punishment. But you notice they're scanning their lives, right? They're remembering their lives. And I'll even put it out to you that they can scan it far clearer than we can. You know, at the end of the day, when I get home after working here, I can hardly remember my name. I'm so tired. But these, our loved ones departed, they are not so weakened by the flesh as we. They've shaken that off. They see things super clearly. Clearer than we see and remember here. And let's consider whether they remember us, their loved ones here on earth. Well, let's consider Lazarus and the rich man. Okay, Luke chapter 16. Jesus says, the poor man, Lazarus, died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember, can you say that word? Remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he's comforted here and you're in anguish. So notice, Abraham, number one, this guy didn't even know Abraham before, but he calls him Abraham. I know who you are. And Lazarus, I remember him from my life. I see him there. I remember and recognize Lazarus. Abraham then says to him, remember you in your lifetime, recall your life. He recalls his life. And did he remember his family, the rich man? He pleads with Abraham, saying, I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have, present tense, 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So did the rich man, let me ask you this, did he remember his family on earth while he was in Hades in torment? He remembered, I have 5 brothers, and I remember Lazarus, and I recognize him, and I know Abraham, and I'm remembering my life, and I remember my brothers, and I still love them, even wickedly. Please send someone to warn them, lest they also come here. So that's for a wicked person. What then of the righteous? Do we not also, and much more so, remember when we go to heaven, our loved ones on earth? Do your loved ones remember you right now? Are they still loving you? You know, the Bible says of love in 1 Corinthians 13, love never ends. It never ends. They're loving you up in heaven right now, as you still also love and miss them. But guess what? I'll bet you 1,000 times better, because down here our love is always in part because of the weakness of our flesh and our sin. They've shaken that off. They are so much purer and brilliant in their love up there for you right now than you even ever knew on earth. They love you still. I'm sure of it by the word of God. They've not ceased to love you. And by the way, are they watching over you as angels with little wings and arrows? No, the Bible doesn't talk about it that way. But they are like runners in a race who have completed the Olympic prize and attained the prize, and they are in the stands, the stadium about you, cheering you on with thunderous applause. Run the race, oh loved ones. Finish as we finished to obtain the prize and the crown, as have we. So they are calling about you now. And you're not so very far apart from them as you think, and distant. Because guess what? We're all under one king, whether we're there or here, and in one kingdom. Right now we're called the church militant on earth. We fight the fight of the faith. They are called the church triumphant. They rest from their labors with crowns, and their deeds follow them. And so we're not so distant and far away from our loved ones as you might think or feel at present. And the good news is, soon, where they are, so we shall also be. We're going where they are, to Christ, to that world above and to the world to come, to that great castle above the clouds, God's throne in the lofty peaks of glory. This is our home and destination. So don't fear death. It's a great place where we're going, and Christ has come to bring us there. This is great hope for you of seeing, remembering, recognizing, knowing your loved ones and picking up your relationship with them there where you left off here. And indeed, the relationships even continue this very day. So when we get together with our loved ones in heaven in the joyful reunion, what kinds of joys does God have prepared for you with them in that place? Oh, thousands, friends, but I'll just give you a few, several here. Number one, let me ask you, do you like to eat? Would you like to dine with Scott again, or with Dennis, or with Madeline, or the other saints who have departed in the faith? Would you like to eat with him? Remember your first date with your spouse? Wasn't that a nice time? I hope it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it is. But remember, wouldn't you love to do that again? Intimate? Or when you first fed your baby in the little high chair, like little Naomi? How intimate that was? How intimate to share food? Are we going to do that there? Jesus says, I tell you all, I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's going to eat with you. Do we get to eat with each other? I tell you, many will come from east and west and sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom, that would be the Jews who rejected Christ, will be thrown into the outer darkness. But notice, the loved ones departed in the Lord, we get to eat with Jesus. That's great. Looking forward to that. And you get to eat with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wow, you get to see them? Yes, you do. And who else? Many coming from east and west. All the saints eating together at the table. Is this not great hope for you and joy to look forward in this day? And we have a foretaste of it today. When you partake of the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, oh, we're all one in Christ under one King and kingdom. How close you are with your departed loved ones here in this meal. Oh, closer than you know. So you can rejoice in that. And we'll also enjoy with them to sit somewhere, the throne of God. For he who conquers, says Jesus, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. It'll be the gift of the King. Come sit with me here on my throne. The Father's throne, says Christ, sit with me here, and all who have loved my appearing. You get to sit in the same place, ruling in the world to come together as kings, royal sons and daughters of the Most High. And you'll also have crowns, by the way, with that. For Paul says, I fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith at the end of his life. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And, watch this carefully, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Crowns! He calls them crowns of righteousness. But we also have, James calls it a crown of life upon your head. Peter calls it crown of glory. And Isaiah calls it the crown of everlasting joy shall crown the heads of the saints. What great hope you have in Christ today before you. And new bodies there you will have at Christ's coming when he raises us from the dead at the last day. We shall be changed, says Paul, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will be sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we changed. He says our present bodies are perishable, the ones raised will be imperishable and eternal. Our present bodies are in dishonor, the next one will be raised in glory. Our present ones are weak, the next are raised in power. Our present one is physical, but it's raised a spiritual body, namely, a real body, but fit for life in the kingdom, the new world to come, to see God face to face and live a world to come. And recognizing your loved ones on that day. I might just posit that maybe you might take a slight second in heaven before you recognize your loved ones, because you're going to be like, whoa, look at you. It's like Extreme Makeover Heaven Edition. It's like, whoa. That's you? And they'll say, and look at you! Ah! And embracing with joy, everlasting. For Jesus says, the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And Daniel, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament and like the stars forever and ever in that elevated state. Look at you, and we'll praise God. And there to inherit a new world, far greater than this one. Watch out, it'll be amazing. For Jesus says through Isaiah 65, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." Does that mean you just can't remember this previous world? No, you can remember it, but who would want to think about it? It's like when a woman has a baby, once she has the child, she forgets the travail. Not like I forget that I had one, but why would I think on that? For the joy of the child that's before me. When you see the new world, you won't even want to think of this world for the joy of the new world that will be before you. Therefore, God says in Isaiah 65:18, "But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy." This is what's before you. Great hope, Christians. And what joy will truly abide there that we have here in this world and this life? The answer? Love. Because, you know, faith is great, but we won't need faith when we see God face to face. Hope is great, but we won't need hope anymore when we have what we have hoped to obtain and will have obtained it. But love, that is eternal. Love never ends, says Paul, and I tell you once again, it will be greater than any love you've ever known here with your loved ones, because here it's always fettered and weakened by the flesh, there free from such things, glorified, exuberant, exhilarating, and multiplied in power. The intimacy to see the King, to know God's love for you, your then love for God, and our love for each other, and that into joy forever as we sing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, and that with joy everlasting. So, in conclusion today, hope? Oh man, you've got words beyond hope. Great hope. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one today, husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sisters, friends in the Lord, be yet of good cheer, says God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the promise is this, that soon, very soon, God shall dwell with man, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He'll wipe away every tears from their eyes, and death he'll put away, that shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for all those former things shall have passed away. And he who sits upon the throne shall say these words, "Behold, look, I make all things new." Yes, as Jesus says, "So, you disciples, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And on that day, no one will ever be able to take your joy from you, ever again." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, "Will We Recognize and Remember Each Other in Heaven?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul, and God bless you.